just going to start reading. Our text today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. Jesus' authority questioned. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching. They asked, "What kind of authority do you have for doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I have a question for you. If you tell me the answer, I'll tell you what kind of authority I have to do these things. Where did John get his authority to baptize? Did he get it from heaven or from humans?" They argued among themselves, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But we can't say from humans because we're afraid of the crowd, since everyone thinks John was a prophet." Then they replied, "We don't know." The parable of two sons. What do you think? A man had two sons. Now he came to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." "No, I don't want to," he replied, but later he changed his mind and went. The father said the same thing to the other son, who replied, "Yes, sir," but he didn't go. Which one of these two did his father's will? They said, "The first one." Jesus said to them, "I assure you that tax collectors and prostitutes are entering God's kingdom ahead of you. For John came to you on the righteous road, and you didn't believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. Yet even after you saw this, you didn't change your hearts and lives, and you didn't believe him."
So this morning, what we're going to do, as we welcome the Reverend Jenny Edwards Bertrand, is I'm going to do just a little short introduction about this text, because it's really hard to understand. You mean the one said they didn't want to, but then they did, and the one said they would and they wouldn't, and vineyards and da-da-da-da-da. Let me cut it down to this. Yesterday, we were asked from Jenny what our favorite movie was. And we all answered, and we all had a lot of fun. And you're just going to have to ask us individually to get that answer. But she didn't ask us, what movie did we absolutely hate? And mine is The Apartment. And it's with not the Shirley MacLaine one, the Jennifer Aniston one, and one of those Chicago actors that I can't stand. But And I don't know. I go right there, don't I, to Jeff Johnston. Because that Chicago accent, I can't. Okay, sorry. I'm digressing. All right. What I hate about this movie is that it's a couple who are breaking up and they're fighting all the time. And one of the arguments, which I think any of us that have been partnered have probably gotten into, and it's about doing dishes. Doing chores. And she's like, and it's an apartment, right? So it's a small place. And it ends up, she keeps doing the chores. And he's like, "Well, because I don't want to." And she's like, "Well, I don't either." And then they would, you know, go bicker back and forth. So then he starts doing them. And then she goes, "No, you don't understand. I want you to do them to help me. Don't do them because you think I'm mad at you. I want you to do them because no one really wants to do dishes," right? That's what's going on here. There are things in the spiritual life. There's things in the workaday life. Sometimes we just don't want to do it, but we do. So then now we can have fruit. And Chuck Dill and Jen Manzella, the fruit they happen to use in this story later on is a fig tree, right? Like, you only can bear fruit when you take care of it. And sometimes you don't get notice for taking care of it, but you take care of it. So in the next year, I don't know, maybe you might get asked to do something. Well, I can, but I don't want to. Well, Jenny and I took Jenny. I've been taking her as much of Orange County as possible. And so we went to the Bowers Museum in Santa Ana because I wanted her to get a taste of our history, right? I can keep looking for some. No, just kidding. And so, sorry. And we learned about a culture that what women do to show their love for God is they have their tip of their finger cut off. So when you all get like, Monica, really, you want me to do what? Well, I don't want you to cut your finger. So that's what this text is about. We all do, but we don't need to brag about it. Let me do one more analogy that I hope and I know will make sense, especially to those of us that have worked with politicians or been one. So DC, been kind of chaotic lately. And I used to lobby in DC professionally when I worked for Planned Parenthood. And so when you work for Planned Parenthood, you are friends with Republicans and Democrats. That's why I don't get in the Democratic-Republican fight as much as some others do, because I realize the issues I work on, we need everybody. So there's my caveat there, okay? Then when you spend time in DC, you realize who really runs the country? It's 23-year-olds. Amen. Amen? It's 23-year-olds. They're the ones who do the research. They're the ones who put in the long, long hours. They're there way in the early morning. They're there late at night. They are writing and writing and writing. They will never get credit for their writing because it goes to the politician they work for. And if any of you watched West Wing, yes, that's my other religion, you always hear Josh Lyman referring to, well, they always refer to the president as the president to whom I serve. They are creating fruit that actually does public policy for us in the United States, but most of them are 23 to 29 years old, and you'll never know their names. So, Jenny and I are gonna do what you all love, Monica interviewing the guest. Here we go. Jenny, for what authority do you come and hang out among us?
I'm appreciative of the invitation from you all, and what authority do you want me to talk about?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well,
from man or from God?
From God. I think the God part. And then what does ordination mean? In this, what's it mean to you? For us, for clergy of our ilk, it takes years,
yeah.
Doesn't it? We don't just go to the back of the Rolling Stone and sign up, right? And so, and we, something we talked about yesterday, oh, we've never heard of that in the workforce. We've never heard of that. And I'm like, well, none of you take vows for your jobs. We take vows. So I got to thinking about ordination, about vocation and calling. When were you ordained?
1997. And I was ordained before I was married, so I was never a Mrs., which as a good feminist, that made me really happy.
Yes.
I was the Reverend.
Yes, yes.
My poor
yes.
spouse.
Yeah.
He has to just deal with this personality. And then I was ordained again, and I don't know, sometime in the early 2000s. And then I did a doctorate a few years ago. I don't know.
Yeah. So, do you remember like what it was like to have the hands being laid on you?
No.
No.
Here's why. I know where you're going with this, and some of our, I mean, it's a 90-hour master's degree. It's years of paperwork and stuff, and many of my colleagues are super into this. Here.
Yeah.
I think your church will appreciate this.
Yeah.
I thought that we would be at a place where absolutely everyone could be ordained. Mm. And there are still so many places where women and people who are queer cannot be ordained mm-hmm. or are blocked from ordination. So for me personally, even now, I go to, in my tribe or whatever, there's an annual conference, and they ask all of the clergy to robe and be present at the ordination and get all the heebie-jeebies about it. I refuse. Right. I will not put on a robe and be in there until 100% of everyone can be ordained. So I know
so you
what
get your authority from God.
I know.
Oh, I see. As we Baptists do too. Yes, because
yeah.
we ordain. Yes.
That's so
yes.
cool.
Yes. Yes.
I'm
where's an amen?
So much
where's
about
an amen? Are we alive? Are we here? Are we amen? Amen? Oh, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Okay. Okay.
Okay, keep
okay,
talking.
Okay, keep going. Okay, why do you serve the church? You asked us, you asked each and every one of us, why are we here?
Yes.
Why are you here? Why did you take this on?
Yes, I'm a cradle, not quite cradle, but at the age of 3, my sister who was 1, I who was 3, and my dad who was 27 were baptized. So my dad was unchurched. My grandparents, in an era, you know, in the 50s when quote unquote everyone went to church,
mm-hmm.
None of my grandparents went to church. So I have a really deep passion for people who don't get all this churchy crap,
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
want to, who need to look at it in a different way.
Mm.
So really, I was on track to become a speech language pathologist, and I was in a campus ministry, and the associate pastor at the time was going on a mission trip. And of course, one of the policies you guys will want to get in place is safe sanctuaries. You never ever have an adult with anyone who's vulnerable without
another adult.
And he needed another adult. And so, like, we were passing, and he said, can you go with us on this mission trip? And I was 21, so I was like, sure. I was going to take a class. And then I'm like, I don't need that class. I'll go on this trip.
I'll go to Florida, because the mission,
no, it wasn't
right?
Florida. Oh. We were working in South Carolina, at
okay.
John's Island. And it wasn't mission creep. It was construction and connection, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So during that trip, he waited till I met all the youth. This is really tricky and manipulative. And then he had the youth say to me, oh, guess what? We started a new youth position. It was only 10 hours a week. Will you take it? And I did. So I know I have a former youth director in here right now.
Mm-hmm.
I did youth ministry in the early 90s, and once I started working in the church, I never stopped. Now, the job I had right before that was the manager of a lingerie store pre-internet.
Oh, that's right.
So I went from
lingerie
store to the
with
church.
With toys. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Hey, Amy Butler would say, do not talk about that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but we're funny here. What about the consulting part? Why consult? Because again, back in my political life, it seemed like you just met a consultant. If they failed at their job, they went on. They became a consultant.
If you can't consult.
Yeah.
No, that youth group, I started with about 6 kids and it grew to over 100. And then the next church I was in, I got to be part of it quadrupling in size. And then I led a campus ministry and it grew. And then I led, I got to launch a church from scratch. And that's the church I lead right now. So I had a coach. Because I needed to know what to do, and my coach said, this was about a decade ago, not quite a decade ago, and he said, you know what, some of the people who I am a coach for, you should be a coach for. Like, you don't need a coach. And I was like, no, I don't know how to do this. And he said, yeah, you do. And so I just sort of, I don't want to say stumbled into it, but he basically said, he sent an email to his client and to me, and basically like, she's your coach now. And mm-hmm. so then I found out I was decent at it. And then I started to get training for it, and I loved it. I mean, I am so impressed with your church. It's been so fun to, because really what a coach does is ask the questions to find out who you are and what you love and You all are an incredible church.
Say more.
Say more right now.
Yes.
You're clear about your values. In a lot of churches, you have to spend maybe 6 or 8 months to figure out the values. And Gary, I know you are a huge part of this. Just a clarity about including all, love for all, but you're not a country club or a social justice organization. You're still a church. So it still centers in the love of God and worshiping together, these practices of faith. So it's really very cool.
Yeah, yeah. I like what are the things I said when I told you I wanted to come here?
Oh, you all, you had to do a search, and you've had lots of transition over the past few years. Am I right in this? Lots of transition here? Okay. So all of the stars and the gods and everything have to line up, but it happened at the same time that Monica was open to a new call. And so you were discerning your spiritual leader. She was discerning where she would land. I think on both sides there were many options. And she came and met with you all, and she was like, oh, no, this relationship is meant to be. Because there were other places where it would have been fine. Like, it would have worked, but there was just a connection. Yeah, amen. I don't know how you decided, but in your laid-back Southern California, you brought Miss Emotion over here. Earlier when we were on the porch, someone said, like, let's not hear the fighting. So, and it was just Monica being Monica. So if any of you are ever in a meeting with her and she says, yes, 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 or no, 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 that's not arguing. That's just communicating.
Joe Manzella knows.
Like, you may say something and she'll go, no, 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 no. Like, you might feel like, oh, someone, in my world, if someone says no 5 times in a row, that's bad. In Monica's world, that's just like, huh, that's all it means. That's all it means. 5 no's in a row mean, huh. Am I wrong?
No, 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 no.
Yes, you've all heard it. Huh. Translate it, do a filter in your head. That's what it means.
I think that's funny because they have experienced Mama Bear, Pastor, because, and you know this, when we were vandalized, and that was a Sunday morning. So we were coping with it in real time. So I needed to let out some emotion with Libby and whoever was in the office at that moment. And then we buck up, and then we were very clear. And then by the end of that coffee hour, all of the stuff was moved away because everybody out here moved what had been trash, including a first-time visitor. Aww. He just got right in there and did it with us. So it's real, it's authentic, and sometimes it takes trash on a patio to realize God is love. Amen.
Yeah.
Can I open it up to others to ask you some questions? Anyone have some questions for Jenny about life, the universe, and anything, especially those that you have spent some time with her? But just wanted to open, what I know, what are the 5 things that make church?
Yes. So this is a question I do. I do this like every 6 months with my own congregation. If you finish the sentence, well, at the end of the day, church is, and all of us have an answer to that. And we all think our answer is right, At the end of the day, church is people, is one thing people say. Or at the end of the day, church is justice. Or at the end of the day, church is going on a service trip. But if you look in Acts, the book of Acts, which was defining what a church is, at the end of the day, church is five things. So it gives us a clue. It is people. It is service. So worship, community, or fellowship is the churchy way to say that. Discipleship, or studies, practicing the faith. So worship, fellowship, discipleship, service, and evangelism, which we who are more progressive Christians are shy of the word evangelism. It simply means an open hospitality and an invitation. That's all it means. And a way of saying our community is not simply for us in this room. Maybe there are two people who live in the neighborhood who could grow spiritually here as well. Or perhaps there are four in Costa Mesa. Or perhaps there are six in Orange County who might grow differently. So if you have in your head, at the end of the day, church is X, remember, it really is five. To fully create a church, it's really all five of those things. And that is what, and that authority rests in the model of creating church. So we all have what we're passionate about. Great. But remember, together you're creating this whole thing. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, service, and invitation. Evangelism.
Amen. That's right. Tell the good news. So I want to give a shout out to Jenny for giving so much time to us. She'll still be giving time to us. She's giving us three more sessions. We worked on, right? Three more sessions on Zoom. And while Jenny is here, and we've all been keeping up on Jenny and her church's story, right? Remember, the city kicked them out of their space. And then
this is her.
This is that Jenny. And then we were celebrating because you got the loan, and we were celebrating that here.
Aww.
Yeah, we've been, and then right now she's learned while she's been here or while we were doing the details for her to get here that they have to raise $120,000 to get into their building because now the city is pulling on them all these requirements. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you can get the building at a good rate, but because it was permitted to be an office building before they got
it was
right,
permitted as a gym.
Gym. That's
so
it.
We thought we were fine because it had as many people as you'd have in a church. Well, gyms are in, even though you fill up space for a gym, gyms are in a different category. Did you know churches, and this is a federal law, so fortunately you're grandparented in here, but churches are in the same category as nightclubs. And so the
Back to your history.
And so the requirement for what we need, the fire suppression systems, is ridiculous. We have six entrances and exits. I'll have a microphone. Okay, let's politely go out. but we're held to that same standard as if it was a nightclub happening in there and needing to get chaotic people out the door. So right now, actually, my church is meeting, my stewardship and generosity team is meeting. So that's all that stuff I had to get out to them.
Right.
They needed it for a meeting that's happening as I'm here.
Yeah. So church is in real time, isn't it?
Real time.
And leading and being. And so you could have easily said, we're in crisis, I can't come.
Oh, we're not in crisis.
But you're not in crisis.
No.
It's church.
It's church, and we invite people to be generous. And one of the spiritual practices, as you all know, is generosity. No one's giving for a firewall.
No.
They're giving for community.
Yes, yes, and their community, which is called hope.
Yeah.
So that's, I love that.
Yeah.
So can we just give her a warm Fairview community welcome and tell her thanks? So
you didn't give me a chance to tell any stories about you.
Oh. Out of time. Out of time. You could tell one if you'd like, and then we'll go. Did you have one in mind?
No, I just...
Of how I've changed your... No, I'm just kidding. The good things. I think one thing we can say, you hear me say a lot about our campus ministry that, again, our Jim Sherry was a part of, too, that we had somebody... I think, Gary, you and Raydeen would have been best friends because he had a... He had a way of always giving space. And in a time when we didn't really have any women role models, he said, you can do this. You can do this. What's holding you back? You can do this. You want to arrange this? You can do this. And so that's been the model, I think, for both of us. He also taught me this, that... any of you who are coming to visit, we're also going to start opening up the church more during the week and have you be able to, you know, like they say in other businesses, walk-ins. We'll take walk-ins. And Raydeen taught us, I think, that you coming in to visit while I'm hanging out here is not an interruption in my day. Right? So that... And he taught us always leave time in your schedule or in your paperwork can always get filled out. Mm-hmm. But people are the church in which we do all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I love that that we got that learning and I think we both try to do it. Did I give you any time to get me? Okay, that's it. So let's get ready and do communion.